From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Oh, hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and well, I have some exciting news to start this episode off with, is that this is going to be one of the last few episodes I do solo-ly. I got word from Count Panic that the owner of the studio has got precautions going in place to be able to get us back in the studio real soon. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, probably, Count Panic and I will be reunited and able to do the show once more. Now, what does this mean? This means that we're going to be able to do the live show once again, which is where we record us talking live, a la late night talk show type thing, and then we extract the audio and make it known in podcast land. This is really, really exciting because I haven't been in the studio since March when everything kind of hit the fan and I haven't seen Count Panic. I've only been able to talk to him. This is really, really exciting news, and I'm thrilled, and Count Panic's really excited to get back in the swing of things and get to work, and I'm excited to get back to work. The only downside is, which is completely fine, is we can't do any live guests, so we won't be able to have anybody live on the show, but our phone lines will be working, and you could definitely call in when we're doing that. And that also means that our fans that listened to us when we were broadcasting live on the radio are able to go back to listening to us on the radio. All very, very exciting stuff. So I'm assuming we'll be back together probably third week of July, the third week, and we're going to be going back on Tuesday nights between 9 and 9:30 p.m. Central, and that'll be streamed live at the Bob After Dark page, so you guys can check that out. If this is your first time ever listening to us in podcast land, make sure you hop, skip, and a jump over to the Apple Podcast website and leave a review. The more 4 or 5-star reviews we get, preferably the 5-star, but I'm okay with the 4, the more of those we get, the better off we are. The more reviews we have, the more exposure we get, and it's just better for me. So if you're enjoying the show, especially if you're a longtime listener and you haven't left a review yet, please go leave a review and hit that subscribe button so you guys can see when I come out on the weekly. And I like to give a shout out to the folks that leave reviews. And this first one is a 4-star review from Miss_Black_Rose. And her review title is Yes. I am a person who listens to other person's arguments on different conspiracy theories and honestly see if I could find any truth and write about them, giving both arguments on how it could be true and allowing other argument on it so they are real. This podcast helps my work easily. I may be only in high school, but I love writing and debating as well as finding truth within mythology. This podcast is amazing and I recommend it for anyone who needs it for similar reasons as mine or those others who have written reviews, but only thing is, the host ramble at times, which gives me a reasoning to giving it 4 stars, which is fine. But other than that, this is an amazing, informative, and spectacular. Miss Black Rose, thank you so much for leaving that review. And despite you might not enjoying the rambling, that's okay. I just want to say I hope you keep writing and keep getting your stuff out there, and I hope you keep researching because the truth is out there. Trying not to sound too much like the X-Files, but it's honest. I'm being completely honest. I hope you don't lose your drive, and I hope you keep writing, and I hope you get your footing, and you know you're going to do great someday. Good luck, and thank you so much for taking time out to leave that review. This next review is titled, This Podcast is Mothman Approved, which gave me quite the chuckle. It was written by Joshua B. Yoder, and it says, what I think sets this podcast apart is that though it is no doubt on the side of belief in the paranormal, it does a great job in asking one to sift carefully through legends, lore, and the accounts of the podcast presents. The accounts are well-researched and presented in weekly current news feature is great. Thank you. Overall, Bob has one of the best paranormal podcasts out there, hands down. And Bob can also direct you to the best deep dish pizza place in Chicago that I can confirm. Joshua, thank you so much for the nice review. I appreciate the fun title about the Mothman Approved. And I have to put out there that I appreciate you listening to my my reviews on pizza places in the show and various other places I go when I'm out traveling. I am a Chicago native, so anytime you guys are ever traveling out here, let me know and I'll point out the best place to get a pie. Joshua approves. The next review actually comes to us from Chloe Galliano. Chloe leaves the title review as Smart and Educational, 5 stars. This show does a great deal of research and presents it in a way that is fun, educational, and easy to digest. Highly recommend if you're into looking up things that go bump in the night. Short, sweet, simple, to the point. Thank you so much, Chloe, for taking the time out to leave that nice 5-star review, and always a pleasure to be able to read nice words from a very adoring fan. My last review is actually coming to us from Chris Rachel, 5-star review, and titles it, Bob Covers It All. These guys are obviously enjoying themselves immensely as they dive into occult matters and urban legends. Bob's a common sense believer, is that even a thing? It should be, whose upbeat, open-minded approach allows for a perspective slightly off-center, but still acknowledges the skeptic's point of view. It's a fun listen, partly because you never really know what you're going to get each week, kind of like walking into a dark room and realizing you're not alone. Is it a haunt? An alien? Your imagination? Your punk little sister being a jerk again? Who knows? Check in to find out. Chris, thank you so much. You know, I pride myself and Bob After Dark to be what I like to call a Swiss Army knife of the paranormal. I like to cover all aspects because I don't necessarily specialize in one thing or another. I really like the cryptozoology stuff, but I can't always talk about that. I'd get bored. I can't always talk about ghost stories, and I appreciate shows that can do that stuff and, you know, be self-centered on one thing. I can't do that. I gotta jump around and give you guys some variety. And, you know, as far as me giving the skeptical point of view, I can't stress this enough, and I had a conversation with somebody recently, was about how I handle skepticism, and it's, man, I have to have skepticism. It keeps me going, it drives me, it gives me a purpose to keep looking. And there are times that I myself am skeptical on things. I'm not a 100% believer on everything I see. There are times that I might buy into things, obviously a lot of the time. But in this case, I appreciate it, and thank you so much. Do you guys want to be like these reviewers and get yourself your name shouted out on the show? Dive right over to the Apple Podcast website, leave a review. I'll give you a shout out, no matter what the rating is. Obviously, I'd appreciate it if it was a 5-star or not. All right, guys, let's dive right into the spooky news of the week. This is the part of the show where I cover some weird paranormal news stories or advances in science that are like science fiction or weird, just out there news stories. Usually I get these viewer submissions, and I got 3 here this week, 2 of which came from viewers, 1 of which I found myself. So let's dive right into the news of the week. This first news story is one that I actually found on my own, and I found it really fascinating just based on the sheer like weirdness that it is. And I can just title it as a preface of our universe is really, really weird. So deep within Neptune and Uranus, it rains diamonds, or so astronomers and physicists have suspected for nearly 40 years. The outer planets of our solar system are hard to study, however. Only a single space mission, the Voyager 2, has flown out by and revealed some of their secrets. So diamond rain has remained only a hypothesis. Beyond the lingering mystery of the diamond rain, there is also a big loss in our failure to study Uranus and Neptune inside and out. It limits our understanding of how our solar system and galaxy, because planets of the same size turned out to be extremely common in the Milky Way. The number of planets similar in size to Uranus and Neptune that have been found in the galaxy is roughly 9 times greater than the number of larger planets similar in size to Jupiter and Saturn. So the outermost planets also seem to bear scars that tell us a lot about our formation of our own solar system. So there's a growing sense of urgency to explore Neptune and Uranus, both to better understand where and how our planetary systems form, and also to refine our ideas about where to look for planets that can sustain life. Although we've been limited by spacecraft and ground-based telescopes regarding how much we can learn about the exteriors of Uranus and Neptune, advances in laboratory simulations are enabling remarkable new insights about what's really happening on their interiors, including what gives us the ability to see the rise to diamond rain. Discoveries such as these reveal a complexity of a chemical process involved in the evolution of these planets. Our simulations give us clues to the internal nature of worlds far beyond the solar system, even worlds that we may not be able to directly see from the inside. This article comes to us from the American Scientist, and I've heard the story about, you know, interplanetary diamonds, and it's always been a theory, but now that we're actually able to experiment and be able to kind of replicate it, can you imagine, like, living on a place that rains diamonds? Now, I know what you might be thinking right outright. Well, man, everybody's going to be rich, or the cost of diamonds are going to be nothing. You could probably buy it for nothing, right? No. Can you imagine the sheer amount of damage that raining diamonds would cause? I can't stress that enough. We see it pop up on the news, like the Weather Channel on the regular, saying things like, oh, hail's going to break up your car and whatever. Can you imagine diamonds? Diamonds are like the hardest thing on the planet. So, despite it being a dangerous and prosperous thing, I find it so fascinating that something so out there can just create this out of nothing. I'm not a scientist, play one on TV, but just that blows my mind that something could just rain diamonds. I understand there's, you know, a scientific explanation for it, but man, that's really cool. Let's move on to our next story. Comes to us from Steve. Steve texted me the other day and said, check your Twitter DMs now. And I'm like, oh no, what did I do? But the thing is, I don't really check the Twitter thing, so I called Steve and I said, well, what's going on? And he's like, man, a new photo of Nessie's, you know, circulating and people are losing their minds. And I was like, well, that's fantastic. So I went and checked out the news article and I'm able to see the photo, which I'm going to put up on the Bob After Dark page. But there's a real, this is probably the coolest looking photo I've seen yet come out of the lock. It looks like the neck of the dinosaur dipping down into the water. And I know Count Panic's really excited about this because that's his absolute favorite cryptid. The downside is that people are super, super stoked about this picture. It was then put to investigation conducted by the Loch Ness Mystery blog, and they're saying that this was probably taken in 2019, and after some digital, you know, like, manipulation, it's unfortunately probably not the actual Nessie, and this is coming from people that study her on the regular. Unfortunately, it looks like the picture's just a photo of a catfish that's been enlarged and whatnot. But you know what? It's still really cool to see people get really excited about a certain cryptid or figure of lore. I was kind of upset. Wasn't like the actual picture, but you know what? As we get closer and closer into 2020, nothing would surprise me other than Nessie just full-on exposing a photo, being like, hey, I'm out here, you know, and other cryptids. It's, I want to believe they're real, and I have reason to believe that some of these are real, but, you know, doctored photos and other things that, you know, other bits of proof, like footprints made out of, like, the big shoes and stuff. I mean, those happen, and unfortunately, that's a thing that's going to continue to happen from now until forever, because people really like to make up stories about these things and blurred images and et cetera, et cetera. This blew up, though. The Loch Ness Monster is actually trending on Twitter, which, that's insane to me. And it's really cool to see people getting really excited about cryptids, and especially Loch Ness Monster again, and Nessie, she deserves it. It's really fun, and unfortunately, at the end of the day, it has been debunked to being just a catfish. Let's move on to the next one. This last news story actually comes to us from one of the fans, Whitney. She writes in about a new super Earth that was discovered, and this is by CNN. Astronomers have discovered two super Earth exoplanets orbiting a star 11 million light years away from Earth, according to a new study. There is a potential to a third planet orbiting a bit farther away from the star, according to researchers. And that's really, really fantastic to know that people are able to find new planets like that. And it always fascinates me to know, like, the sheer, like, vastness that is out there in the world and how much space is in space, right? And there's infinite possibilities, and I always get excited when I get to see stuff like that. So thank you so much for writing in with that article, Whitney. I appreciate it. Now let's talk a little bit about a new segment we're going to be doing on the show. And what this is I've been asking fans to be writing in about things that they experience in the paranormal. I want to hear your ghost stories, but not just ghosts. If you had a cryptid sighting or a UFO encounter, I want to hear about that. So every week we're going to be highlighting a new story that comes in from a fan. And this one actually comes in from A. Michaels. Michaels was the first person to write in with the news story, but I promise you guys, I'm going to be reading off everyone that comes through the inbox. It just might take a couple episodes, but I promise you, you will hear your story live on the show. So this has been an email that was sent to me, and I'm going to be reading it word for word. So I will recount my experience during my mid-20s when I was a rookie in the world of paranormal investigations with a small amount of skepticism, but a family history of paranormal that would push me into seeking truth for the last 15 years. This was the second or third investigation I would partake in and remains one of the most memorable for reasons that will become clear. I was in a small town in central Michigan. Details will be omitted due to an NDA signed by with the family who was well known in said town. We would investigate a family farmhouse that had stood since the town's inception. The town itself has a history of unrest ranging from instances of relocation of an Indian burial ground to a town festival that turned into a murderous brawl from an outside carnival company. This particular farmhouse had a history of woe itself. Important to note that is the family that no longer resided there suffered the death of a daughter who under a horse drowned under a horse-drawn buggy and a father who had a room upstairs to no one in the family who was allowed to enter. During this investigation, I would be subjected to the various of the ire of the father figure as I was in the forbidden room taking readings. It was during this time that I would see a mist from form on the floor and immediately experienced a crushing sensation in my chest. It was later revealed that the father died of heart issues. This would be the first transference I would experience. Leaving the room during an affirmated heart-crushing, I found myself in the kitchen experiencing a paralyzation of my right leg. I could feel the limb but could not move it. That was my transference number two. Almost immediately, an old-style cane owned by the father but kept as a rustic Americana aesthetic by the owners lunged itself off the wall at me and hit another kitchen wall. It was at this time I decided that the father was probably not happy with my presence at this point and went into the basement for more readings. It was in the laundry room that I could receive the same strong readings via cell sensor and a tri-field. Looking up, I would see a 5-year-old girl with a tattered dress and hair standing about 8 feet away. Remember the buggy incident? Now, before you become an investigator, you assume any spirit you see is supposed to be completely translucent. In that case, I was initially freaked out by someone being there with me and didn't realize it wasn't a living person until I looked down and seeing the translucence around the lower dress leg area. It stayed there for what seemed like a while, but truthfully was probably only about 5 to 6 seconds of good view, and then vanished as I fumbled for a camera. Rookie readiness, I suppose. This would be the encounter that would cement my life seeking experiences in the paranormal. Experiences that have been touching, violent, and have been reconnecting the family to lost members, including me to my own. Thank you, Bob, for taking time out to share my story. Michaels, I really appreciate you taking the time out to send me in that story. It's really cool, and I really like to hear stuff from fellow paranormal investigators. And even when it's like your first time, you know, you always hear stories about people being like really excited to be out there in the field and like, oh, I've been doing this for 10 years and I, you know, I got something on my spirit box. It's those first times, though, that you always never really hear about because they never turn out to be that exciting. Some people go and then they get bored because it takes a long time to get readings. But in this case, Abe really had a good story and had a really good experience for their first time being out there. Thank you so much for sharing that story, A, and I had a lot of feedback coming in from a lot of people that sent in stories, and I can't wait to get to all of them, but don't hesitate to reach out. You can private message the Facebook page, Bob After Dark, or you can email me, bob@bobafterdark.com, and I'd be happy to read through your story. And, you know, eventually when we start getting these compiled, I'd like to do some kind of contest with who's the viewer's choice was the best one, but let's get the ball rolling, and I was very excited. The last thing I want to share before we dive into the lore of the week is I wanted to give a quick shout-out to James from Peoria. James chimed in when I proposed a question about people being scared of a clearly fictional thing, and James shared a picture of what I think was an animation cell from the real Ghostbusters cartoon back in the 80s, and there was this one background ghost thing, and James told me, as he was sleeping at night, he would wake up and he would see this one weird background creature in the darkness of him just waking up or whatever it might have been, and that image scared the heck out of him completely. And I just really wanted to say thank you, James, for sharing that experience. And if you guys, when you hear the episode, and if you have any feedback about things you might have experienced, please let us know. We're happy to help and happy to hear what you got going on. Let's dive right into the lore of the week. So, 1 year ago, I was contacted by a couple, we're going to call them J and R. J and R are brand new homeowners, bought their home on the south side of Chicago, and they were super excited to be there. You know, they had plans, you know, that's going to range the rest of their lives. They've been married a little bit at this point, and they're really excited to, like, get this really big step out of the way. They're getting moved in, and they're seeing everything, and one of the spots in the house that they found was a crawl space that had, like, a window to it. And when they'd open up the window, they'd look in, and it was a really cold blast of air. Jay said she felt the cold, but just figured it was cold spots, you know, like normal wind cold coming in. And R decided that he was going to go in and start doing some self, you know, insulation. But the job turned out to be too much, and he hired a contractor to come out and finish the insulation of this crawl space. Well, upon the exit of the contractors, they went and looked in the crawl space, and lo and behold, next to a pipe was a strange VHS tape lying face down. Upon seeing it, Jay said she had really just negative vibes from it and legitimately brushed it off as that, you know, what's that doing there? Because R went in there and actually did the, you know, self-insulation, and there was no videotape there. It wasn't until after the contractors came in that they found this VHS tape. And that's not a common thing a contractor's just going to be carrying around as a tape, right? So J and R, out of sight, out of mind, because it was way out of reach for them to really be able to get to anything. Plus, Jay said she was having a lot of issues with it. Seeing it made her feel uncomfortable. Fast forward a little bit, and Jay started having really nasty nightmares about the tape. Ever since discovering it, it left her feel like unease. She was having nightmares about monkeys, and if you know anything about dream interpretations Anytime you're at time you're having a dream about monkeys or gorillas, that's really a mischievous, angry, violent thing. So J&R reached out to me, and it took us a bit of time to find some time where I could make it out to be able to come out there that would correlate for their schedules and mine. And I went there, completely social distance, protected myself going in, wore a mask. And I saw it. We went to the crawl space area, and I looked, and there was no way I was going to fit in that crawl space, FYI. And R said he wasn't comfortable going back in there either because Jay was having such a thing about this. So they handed me a telescoping pole, and I reach in, and I grab a hold of the tape with it, and I start scooting it towards me. And leading up to this point, I was asking you guys, the fans on my Facebook page, about what exactly you think this tape is. You know, best case scenario, it was a copy of Jerry Maguire. Worst case scenario, it would have been a blank tape with something recorded on it that I would have had to watch privately, and it might have had to get turned into the police as soon as I turned it on. I couldn't stream it for you guys because I didn't know what would be on it. You know, I don't want to show you guys potential illegal material. So we get it, and it's scooting closer, and I'm really excited. I'm streaming it live on the Facebook page, and I pull it out, and lo and behold, can you guess what I found? It was a copy of the Michael Jordan film Space Jam, where Michael Jordan teams up with the Looney Tunes to play a game of basketball. I had a really good laugh about it, and J&R had such good spirits after I pulled this thing out. And Jay was telling me a little bit about her spiritual side and how she is a practicing witch. And she said, you know, she's very well off warding off the house and is very much in tune with how to balance the energies in the home. And she can't believe a tape made her feel that uncomfortable because she's very much in tune with the metaphysical world around her due to her spiritualist beliefs. What did I come into then? Was this tape haunted? Or was there something in the house that's causing spiritual activity? And I asked them, you know, I went through the basics without doing a full-blown investigation because I don't need to be bringing out equipment and traveling through people's homes right now due to the COVID outbreak. But I got the gist of things, and they said there's nothing weird going on in the home. They did a full-fledged sweep of the entire place, and they never had any dread but this tape, and they wanted the tape gone. And I got it, and now it's in my possession, and I haven't had any kind of real feelings about it because I left it in a safe place and not inside my home yet because I don't ever, and this is a good rule for you Ghoul Scouts out there, you developing ones, is don't bring haunted objects in your home until you're, you know, warded and protected for that kind of a thing. And it got me really wondering what exactly I was dealing with. And I got to thinking, because there's not a lot of stories about haunted videotapes, right? Is it possible that a spirit attached itself to the tape itself? Absolutely. It's definitely a possibility. But I got to thinking, is it possible for a spirit to possess the media inside of it? And that's what we're going to be talking about today on Bob After Dark, is the follow-up aftermath to the Space Jam thing, and why did it freak her out so bad? And the content in it, I haven't watched it. I'm assuming it's just Space Jam. But why did it give me an uneasy feeling going ready to watch this tape? Let's dive right into what exactly could have been on this tape and what a spirit could do with media. But before we do, why don't we take a quick little break? I want you guys to hear some words from a fellow podcast. And when we come back, we're going to be ready to have a discussion about ghosts in media.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Stop me if you heard this one before. It's the year 2002, and you're at your local video rental store hearing about this movie called The Ring. And it's about some Japanese ghost that's possessing a VHS tape that when you watch it, you die in 7 days. I think that might be where a lot of these fears with the Space Jam VHS came from. Is it possible that a ghost is physically haunting the media inside of it? And I said to myself, well, are there any legitimate ghost stories about a ghost haunting a piece of media? There's creepypastas, which we know are fictional stories about video game characters, but I've never heard of a ghost haunting a particular copy of a movie. Now, there is such a thing as cursed movie sets, which we're going to talk about next week, but the movie itself, that particular copy, that's what's haunted, and I wanted to dive right into it. And unfortunately, I can't find anything. Unlike the stories where you hear about haunted paintings where the expression of the figure might change or the background might change to predict the future like a fire, or, you know, the story of the crying boy that supposedly causes fires with that painting or anything like that. There are stories about that, even photographs with the moving house in Bachelor's Grove. But I couldn't find a story about a ghost haunting a piece of media. So I decided to start off from the beginning. And I said, The Ring couldn't have come up with this by itself. This couldn't have been an original concept. And it wasn't. The Ring actually is based on a real ghost story out of Western Japan in the Himeji Castle. Which, by the way, guys, precursor, I don't speak Japanese. So I'll spell it out for you like I always do when we talk about foreign stuff. This is Himeji, and that was the lord of the castle back in the year 1333 and 1346. Now, there was a young lady who lived there by the name of Okiko, which is O-K-I-K-U, who worked in a dungeon beneath the castle, and they were a servant to a samurai named Tessan Aoyama. And Aoyama took a particular liking to her. In fact, he fell madly in love with her, telling her that he was going to leave his wife to be with her. But Yokio wasn't on board with this plan, which led to her apparent murder at the hands of the brutal samurai. One of Yokio's primary duties was to look after 10 highly valuable golden plates that were owned by Aoyama, and one day the samurai decided to hide one of them. He told Akiku that if she didn't agree to be with him, he would blame her for the stealing of the plate, which would lead to her torture and execution. In one version of the story, Okiku ended her own life by throwing herself off the castle well, believing herself to be in a no-win situation with no way out. In the other version, Aoyama threw her down the well when she refused to be with him. Of course, the story doesn't end there. In the wake of Okio's death, it was said that she would crawl out of the well and appear to Aoyama on a nightly basis. Aoyama was apparently driven insane by the vengeful ghost's incessant screams and in the night, and she was regularly heard counting the plates in the dungeon, throwing a violent fit whenever she realized, as she did, that the 10th plate was still missing. Drawings of Okio depict her as a very similar to the Sadako, or the Samara from the movie The Ring, with flowing black hair and a long white dress. This is the general depiction of the person who has died under natural circumstances in Japan. These ghosts are often referred to as Yori, translating to either faint soul or dim spirit. These tragic women are buried in white dresses with their hair let down. The well, locally known as Okiku's well, can be still found at Himeji Castle, but it now has wrought iron bars covering it. Maybe those iron bars actually keep her spirit in, perhaps? Now, it's a great story. It's a fantastic ghost story. And if it turns out to be a real like historical event, it's very possible that this young lady is still haunting those grounds. But how do they get from ghost in Japan during times way before video to her possessing the video? Where does that story come from? And unfortunately, I can't find out. So I reached out to several paranormal investigators to ask them what they thought about in this regard. The first one I reached out to was our old pal Steve, the on-again, off-again co-host. And I said, hey, Steve, what do you know about haunted videotapes? And he's like, what, like The Ring? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, ghosts can potentially possess the videotape itself, right? And I'm like, no, but the media inside of it. So Steve took a moment to think about it, and he's like, I don't think it's possible. And we kind of went back and forth, and the theory that we came up with is that in order for a ghost to possess the media, the ghost would have to be a part of the process in order to make the tape. Part of what we believe ghosts are is energy, and when the tape is done, the only energy that goes into it is pausing and starting the tape. So the media within it would have to be a living, breathable world, like Tron, in order for the ghost to actually exist in that kind of realm. Now, that's not saying that, like I said, a ghost can totally possess the tape, but the media inside of it doesn't necessarily work. I reached out to Adam and Lisa Lane, they're paranormal investigators out of Detroit, and I asked them the same thing. I said, have you guys ever heard of hauntings in media? And their initial thought was, oh, like a cursed movie set, you know, Rosemary's Baby, etc. And I'm like, no. Not a cursed movie set, but a physical embodiment of the spirit within media. And it was kind of dead silent, and Adam basically explained it as, well, then if you're doing that, you would have to believe in the concept of a, you know, Inception, where it's a world within a world, and that world that we create in the movie verse would have to exist in some reality of a plane for the spirit to manipulate the physical tape. And the way he described it was that a spirit can mess with the VCR, it could mess with the tape, but physically making an appearance in the media and being able to interact with the world around it, probably not going to happen. Lisa then followed up explaining that, you know, if anything, it could have been like a very, very vengeful, angry, high-powered spirit. And I said, well, maybe a deity. But then again, if a deity is going to make an appearance in something, why make an appearance in, you know, your local copy of The Blues Brothers? I've come to the conclusion that I don't think a spirit can possess media based on the ideas that, you know, myself and some of my cohorts came up with, is that when you create a piece of media, that is just a piece of artificial something. It's not a world in and of itself. It's not a living, breathing world like we have. And I came to the concept that maybe if this was the case, that how can a ghost make an appearance in a dream? But again, if I'm dreaming, I'm still pumping out energy for a ghost to be able to feed off of and manipulate with. Lo and behold, I did find a singular story about a cursed film that was supposed to be made back in the 1970s. This movie was called Antrim. And what Antrim was about a little boy and a little girl lost in the woods when they come into contact with the devil. And throughout the film, there are many satanic worshiping symbols that would appear during the movie. And it was supposed to be a cheesy exploitation, you know, kind of, let's, you know, think Lucifer is going to kill everybody on sight, and, you know, scary pentagrams, etc., goats. Well, the downside of this was the movie was only shown once, and during that showing, all 58 people that watched that movie died of heart attacks or seizures or something along the sorts. Now, this is a real news story, apparently, and apparently this movie is curse to anybody who watches it. And I said, there we go. We finally got an answer to this ghost in media thing. Is it possible then it can exist? Here we go. I got evidence. Unfortunately, it came out later that the concession stand workers at the movie theater decided to spike the popcorn with LSD and other forms of drugs, and decided to spike the rest of the concession stand with other hallucinogenics and downers. And unfortunately, the crowd of people that took it could not survive the input plus the horrific scenes that were being shown during this film. So, without further ado, do we have a haunted film, or was it the case of, you know, a couple guys that thought they were going to play a prank and it went completely, utterly wrong? I am not a hardcore skeptic. I am not a skeptic light, as I call Pat from Ghostly Podcast. I am a believer with skeptical sides to me. I'm going to go off on a whim and say that a ghost cannot possess the form of media within it. It physically doesn't have the energy that it takes to possess it because there's no energy being caused. Can a ghost mess with a TV, a VCR, or the tape, or even like the Mad Egg strip itself? Absolutely. But if I turned it on and some ghost is going to pop out of my TV, I have to ride the skeptical side on this and say, no, there's no possible way. Now, if a deity is coming to mess with you, and that's what I would legitimately say would have the ability to do something like that, would be angelic or a deity or demigod or a really powerful demon, they have other ways to mess with you, particularly in your sleep. They're not, you know, going to mess with your copy of Deep Impact. I'm sorry, I didn't want to leave you guys on a skeptical note there, but it's an interesting topic and it's an interesting thought, but unfortunately, I can't find it. And if you guys have any experiences, I'd really like to know. I think that spirits can interact with the physical world around them. I don't think they can interact with an artificial intelligence. And maybe there are. I do know there are, you know, people in the pagan community that study things like, you know, technomancy. So maybe there's something to it. But unfortunately, I'm not finding anything. And I'd love to hear stories. If you guys have them, write in, let me know. And unfortunately, with the copy of Space Jam, if there was a spirit attached to it, I don't think it's going to be on that magnetic strip when we go to watch it. It's might be attached to the tape. What was really strange about J&R's experience and what they were telling me was that this tape wasn't there when they bought the house, because R went in there and R went to go insulate the home and R didn't see it. Is it possible that there was a box of VHS tapes tucked up into the rafters and, you know, the contractor that went in to insulate it knocked it loose and only one tape came out? Sure, absolutely, but I don't buy into that either. I think that tape was meant to be found for one reason or another, and I'm not sure what it is just yet. Once I find out, I'll keep you guys updated, but when I play it, I highly doubt I'm going to get cursed to die. I promise you guys, can't get rid of me that easy. I just want to thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Bob After Dark, or I should say listening to it. It really means a lot to me. I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams, to my mom and dad good night, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and of course, the most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.